Hi, welcome back to Soul Speak. I'm Meg Michelson. In today's episode, we're going to look at the reasons why we are sometimes or maybe always not emotionally or physically affectionate and how that might impact our partnership and those people we care about. So thanks for being here. And here we go. So I want to continue on with striving towards healthy couplehood, because whether or not you are single or in a couplehood or want a couplehood, having a couplehood is great. Having a healthy couplehood is great. If it's an unhealthy couplehood, it can really cause so much more strain and pain in our lives that it diminishes our sense of energy and empowerment. So having a healthy couplehood is really important, and it is worth striving for, and it does take two people. So all that being said, sometimes one person in the relationship is more affectionate than the other person. So why is that? Why do we or our partners or our friends and loved ones sometimes, or sometimes it's often, pull away from those people we love? What's going on within that's causing that hold back of affection? You know, there's many reasons. So we're going to talk about some of them. Some people just have a harder time with affection. That, of course, can be situational or long term. When you think about the couplehood you're in, if this is an issue, look back. Was it always that way? And just didn't matter as much now, or was there a change? So first pay attention to when that started. Was there dynamics in the relationship that were more troublesome? Or is your partner not affectionate, and is there trouble going on in that person's life? So why is important? And also how we handle that. As the partner of someone that is not affectionate, just as an example, think about it. What do you do? What do I do if my partner is less affectionate and I want more affection, or if they are more affectionate and I want less? How do we handle that? What's our reaction? What's our response? And again, we want to look back at, when did this start? Was this always the case, or is this something new? Common one is conflict. If there is conflict in a relationship, and that can be as simple as a difference of opinion, or it can be a long-term conflict where two people just continue to have the same argument over and over. That's that emotional or physical banishment, so to speak. You know, think back to Hester Prynne from The Scarlet Letter. That's really often the case. You know, she was emotionally banished. She stayed in her community. She wore this big red scarlet letter, but she was ignored. There was a lot of disdain towards her. People can do that to each other in a relationship. And that's often the case in many relationships when we are forgetting how to treat those people that we love. And it's an emotional restraint, so to speak. And it can also be physical. You know, we can pull away our physical touch as well as our emotional affection. It can all go. Psychologists call this avoidant abuse. It's also called emotional withholding. There are many, many degrees of that, just like there's many shades of gray, varying degrees of, is it a lot? Is it once in a while? Is it constant? Are you feeling ignored all the time? So paying attention to how it makes you feel, of course. And with the age of technology, it is becoming even more common. And this truly can end any relationship when the levels of affection do not match. Why else do we withhold affection? One reason is that maybe we were raised without physical or emotional affection. Maybe we were raised without touch. Maybe we were raised without the I love yous and the compliments. It is not present in every family. It was very present in mine. So it was really easy for me to be physically and emotionally affectionate. And that's an important piece to me that I've raised my children with. But that's something that not everybody is raised with. So some people are really uncomfortable with that. One of my daughters is married to a wonderful man who has a different level of affection, and they've worked through it. They can laugh about it, but it is because he was raised in a different way. And that's really okay, as long as two people are willing to address it and not just sit and stew about it or cause a bigger divide. Another reason is perhaps that person is more head-centered than heart-centered. I don't know if you've heard of the Enneagram. I maybe have brought it up. There's the head, heart, body types. Enneagram is a great tool. And sometimes people are in their head. And when we're in our head, it's very hard to be affectionate. So when we're thinking of our to-do list, or we are prioritizing doing over being present to those we love, it's really easy to cut off affection. One of my daughters will say to me, "You're not making eye contact with me," because I'm in my head and she's trying to get my attention. And I love that she does that. Maybe not always in the moment, but it's a beautiful way for me to wake up. Oh yeah, I'm not giving her that attention. And to her, that relates to emotional affection because I'm not present. So when we're in our head, very hard to be in our heart. That can change in a nanosecond. So if your partner is more head-centered, there are ways to work through that if both people are willing, of course. And touch is a nice, sometimes nice way if it's well received. So when you're talking with your partner, maybe reach over and touch their arm gently, not digging your nails in or strangling their arm because you're mad, but really being gentle with touch. Bring them back to their heart. And our hands are part of our heart chakra. Another reason is perhaps you or your partner are keeping your affection levels down because there's been a history of rejection. Maybe there was rejection with touch. Maybe there was rejection with emotional affection. And they're just really guarded now. And that could be back from childhood or from other couplehoods. Some people have been more giving in the past. And then over time, that rejection that they felt maybe once and it was major or maybe multiple times caused them to close their heart a little more, caused them to have less trust and more doubt. And that is reflected now in the current relationship. That can go as far back as our earliest childhood memories. So think back to your childhood memories. Maybe you did not get the affection that you wanted, whether emotional or not. And so when those pieces are happening, you know, when you are looking at your history, did it come in and out? Is it triggered by someone that reminds you of one of your parents or one of your siblings? So just going back to our own memories and the person you're with now, if they are holding back affection, is that similar to someone in your house, your family of origin? Is that similar to someone in your family of origin? It's important to just look back because then we get an aha. But as I've said before, visiting the past and looking at it from a learning perspective is much different than dwelling in it and getting stuck there. So be careful. And when we look back at the family of origin and the affection levels, whether it was withheld because our parent was mad or our sibling was mad, you know, whatever it is, or they were just too busy, there's growth in that relationship now that you're in if it is similar to that childhood pattern. Another reason we might be holding back or our partner might be holding back affection is because there's an underlying anger. And some people hold back love when they're angry. I used to be one of those people. It would be if I was mad at my partner, he wouldn't get my affection. He would just get my anger and maybe silence. And of course, that's so unhealthy because now we're just stockpiling it. And we're never resolving through it. But that unhealthy mindset says, well, I'm mad at them, so I'm not going to be nice to them. I'm not going to give them affection because I'm just angry at them. And I don't want them to think what they did was okay. Think about that a minute. If that's what we're doing, we're never working through it. We can love someone, but we want to be specific about why we are holding back the affection. Do we have to do that in order to solve the problem? Do we have to hold love out when we are angry? And sometimes we've done it for so long that we just, that's our new norm. And we become less affectionate and less loving. And we just get angry easy. So starting to pay attention, is that you or your partner? Sometime in the last few weeks, I had two clients that had very similar stories. both of them had spouses that ran a lot of anger and partners that were yelling. And so when that anger is present in my partner, say, and their partners, it was hard for them to want to be affectionate to the partner that's been yelling at them. It's really hard to be close to someone after they've yelled. So if you're a yeller or you're condescending to your partner and you're wondering why they're not affectionate because now you want to cuddle, it's really hard to switch gears. So perhaps if someone is the yeller in the relationship, it might be a good idea to start looking at different ways to communicate so then we can get to our heart and let go of the pain of the wounding and get back into a closeness. Another reason, it's an unhealthy give and take. You know, and we've talked about this before, some people are just much bigger givers than others. And when someone that's really a giver is in a relationship with someone that's not as giving, that power dynamic can be a real struggle. When that person that's not as giving gets so used to being given to, they might start to feel repelled and pull away. And then they don't even want to be affectionate. And the person that's giving, the more that they're not getting, perhaps the needier they can become. Sometimes the more we want something, the more hungry we are for it when we're not getting it. And that can be the same with affection in a relationship. So when we are not getting what we want from our partner because we've been giving so much, be careful not to do it for tit for tat, but just pull back and give to self first. Wait a minute. Am I being kind enough to myself? Am I being kind enough to myself first? Because otherwise, they keep running from our affection wanting, and the divide keeps growing further and further. Great, healthy conversation always helps, and sometimes it's not possible. Until we allow ourselves to be vulnerable enough, and both people work at it. Another reason, and I spoke to this about the anger, it's really looking at how two people are communicating. A woman I used to counsel years ago was very critical to her partner. And she really wanted him to be more present and more engaging and more affectionate. The more she wanted it, the more critical she became, where she would start picking at him. And that caused him to feel less and less close to her. So what came first? He had the emotional disconnect with affection from his own upbringing. And she wanted that. But at first, when they were dating, it seemed okay because it was a lot of fun. But then as time went on, she really wanted that closeness. And the more she wanted it, the more critical she became, the further away he ran. And so they're doing this really unhealthy dance, and neither one of them can really see what's going on because they're stuck in their own pain. So starting to communicate with, wait a minute, what am I doing here? And communicate with the other person about what you want and what do they need from you so they feel connected, if two people are willing to work at it, of course. Another reason, this is one you really want to be careful with if you're in this type of relationship. Sometimes when people are disempowered in whatever way in their life, they hold back affection, whether it's physical, emotional, or both, because it's like a little bit of an ego or power trip. It helps them feel in control in the relationship. And there's an underlying issue that's even deeper than that. But that's the surface one, that feeling of disempowerment. So I'm going to control how much I give to my partner. Like anything else, things can be healed with honesty and two people wanting to work at it. It's so important, however, to try to understand where that pull is coming from. Why is my partner pulling away? Or why am I pulling away? What's the why? Our body always wants to talk to us. So pay attention. When you're feeling either that abandonment because someone's not giving you affection, or that pull away because you don't want to give your partner affection, ask your body, pause. What's going on within me that I am needing this from this person, or what's going on with that partner of mine that they are pulling away, that they're just not present anymore with this affection level? Or why am I pulling away? And where do you feel it in the body? Our bodies always tell us the truth, and our cells hold so much of our history. So taking a moment, breathing in there, asking the question, and because you and your partner have a deep connection on some level, even if it's not current, you might get an answer just tuning in on what's going on within them. As long as we're doing it from a neutral place, a place of loving kindness, not a place of accusatory or digging for the dirt, but really wanting to know what's going on with that person. And let yourself feel their side. Let yourself stand in their shoes. I wonder what pain they are going through that's causing them to pull away from me. Or what pain am I going through that's causing me to pull away from them? Another question to ask ourselves is, are our expectations from another in line with what we expect from ourselves? You know, this is a biggie, and I've spoke about this before. If I want my partner to be kind and affectionate to me, am I that way to myself? Because we're always sending energy out. And it is important to give yourself what you're wanting from someone else. So if we want to be treated with loving kindness, be loving kind to self. If we want someone to be more affectionate to us, be affectionate to self. We need to feed ourselves first. How can someone meet our emotional needs if we are not first meeting our own? Am I asking someone to fill my cup, but I'm not filling it myself? And then I'm going to keep feeling hungrier and hungrier for that affection that they're not giving me. But if I pause and say, wait a minute, first let me fill my own cup, and then I'll see how much affection I'm really lacking. But the longer I'm in the lack, the more empty I'm going to feel. It's also really important to look at the compatibility of the two people in the relationship. You've heard the word, I'm sure, love language, and you can look that up. So I'm not going to delve too deeply in them. But that's something I've really found time and time again. Two people aren't recognizing that their love languages are different. Words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, receiving gifts. I believe I spoke about that last week as well. What is your love language? First of all, know it. And then help define your partner's love language. Ask them. I know there's quizzes online you can take. Because if yours is affection and theirs is words of affirmation, that's going to be kind of tough. But once you know it, and you want to really give to that partnership cup, it is worth it to learn and also give their love language and ask for yours in return. And you can go beyond the love languages. There are more than just those five. However, it's a really great tool to start to think in terms of, is if they're not meeting my level of affection, but am I meeting their needs? And so if I want to save this relationship, and again, remember, it's not about giving, giving, giving till you're blue and bloody and they're just going to just trample you to death. No, it's about, if I want them to give, am I giving? So if I know their love language, their primary one, because we run more than one, is acts of service, and I want affection, I might give them affection, but that's not their first love language. Theirs is acts of service or words of affirmation. Maybe they just want to be thanked a lot. And then they might actually become more affectionate. But when we are both sitting here, not trying to understand where our partner is coming from, and both of us have our head in the sand, the divide grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. And that can get to the place where it is no longer repairable. But it doesn't have to go that far. So really try to work on, what is my part in this? I was looking back at some of my older podcasts, and I found something I wanted to bring up in today's podcast because it is so important. Relationships are the most important thing in this world, in my belief system. Relationship with self, relationship with others. They can bring us the most joy. They can bring us the most pain. Relationship with self can bring us joy and pain, just as much as a relationship with others can bring us joy and pain. And sometimes we can get so stuck in the feelings of hurt and think only of the pain, not how we can learn from this experience. We can choose to change that. We can stand in someone else's shoes, go into the soul perspective. What's going on in their world? Or I'm just going to be angry and pout. We get to choose that. Stand in their shoes, reflect on what maybe is going on in their life, and then ask, talk through it. Because otherwise, we just get stuck in our head and we lose that opportunity to really grow in true intimacy. And true intimacy breeds a whole nother level of affection, which can be incredible and out of this world. And we can get there. It takes vulnerability. It takes honesty. And it takes remembering that there are two people in the relationship. It's not just about my needs, but there's two of us here. Can we meet each other's needs? And so we can choose to heal things. We can choose to heal things within and look at, where is this within me? Where is this coming from within me? Is this a realistic expectation, or am I just looking at the lack? Let's look at the whole picture. And then what's my learning in this? When we start to delve into things in a healthy way, and this month of July, the veil is thin. And by that, I mean, there's going to be a lot more dreams and ahas. So it is a beautiful time to do healthy, deep work. And if you can do it on your own, do it on your own. If you need help, please find someone to help you so we can break these patterns in our dating and relationship life. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for liking and sharing and being here. And I hope you choose to be really beautifully in love with yourself. Do good things for yourself. Treat yourself with loving kindness and let that spread everywhere else in our beautiful world. See you next week. Hey, listeners, thank you so much for being part of the Soul Speak world. I really appreciate that. And if you're willing and if you find this of value, would you please follow on any of the platforms you're listening to, whether that's Apple or Spotify or Google or any of the platforms. And of course, I love the ratings if you find this valuable. You can also follow me on YouTube and like and share. And all of that really makes a difference. Appreciate your participation. And of course, I really appreciate you being part of this world.